Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Time to talk company results yet again here on Kaya Biz. And today we talk about the leading telecommunications business on the African continent. MTN has released strong first half results that have seen an improvement overall when it comes to the macroeconomic conditions, really underscoring the momentum that we see in their commercial objectives. Some leadership changes have been announced, improvements in their earnings, no dividend declared just yet as they still are managing allocation of capital. To talk us into the numbers and guide us on some of the overview and highlights that we should discuss is the group president and CEO of MTN, Ralph Mopita. Always a pleasure to touch base with you, Ralph.
Thanks, Gugu, and very good evening, whatever time it is for your listeners. Always a pleasure to be here.
Fantastic. Busy, busy time for yourself as well as your Exco team. And maybe let's delve first into the overview of the numbers. We do see that your EBITDA margins have improved by 60%. But one of the key lines that really caught my attention was the improvement in the macroeconomic factors, especially regarding the operations across the continent. Let's deep dive into that just to get a better understanding of interest rates, inflation, and what it's meant for currency upstreaming for MTN.
Yeah, you're absolutely right that we're operating in a quite benign, supportive macro. When you look at it relative to prior years, where in Nigeria last year, we had a very sharp devaluation of the Naira. Mm. So if we start with Nigeria, the Naira has been pretty stable, 1,500 odd Naira to the dollar, very stable. You can find dollars at the exchange windows, willing buyer, willing seller. So the issue of hard currency as a concern is not with us anymore. Inflation is coming down. So the macro in Nigeria has been very supportive, and the very strong results are a combination of our own operational efforts, but also a much more benign environment, which has given us the stellar set of results that we presented. If I move to Ghana, the Ghanaian cedi actually appreciated in the half against the US dollar. I think the Ghanaian cedi, supported by, I guess, by gold sales. You know, gold prices have been up in this kind of uncertain geopolitical environment. So the cedis actually retraced from about 15 cedis odd to the dollar to 10, 11. So there's been a very strong appreciation of the cedi, which we don't normally see in African markets, you know, of that nature. So again, our strong operational results were supported by a very good macro. South Africa, I guess, you know, the growth has been relatively sluggish. GDP in South Africa, 0.1. We'd all love for it to be 3% plus, but we're not there yet. And inflation is pretty stable. So overall, I think the results are framed as the things we can control as MTN, how we operate and execute. We've done that pretty well. And then we've operated in the macro, and hence we had these very strong, stellar financial results that came out.
100%. Let's talk about the things that you can control. And a large contingent of this has been making sure that you're able to meet the customer's needs when it comes to data, as well as fintech, largely being Momo, mobile money as a service. I'm quite keen if you can position for us the investment in the necessary digital infrastructure and how that has supported the outcomes in the drive for growth that we see in data and, of course, fintech.
Yeah, I mean, our story, the MTN investment story, is that we believe that there's structural growth over the medium to long term around the demands for data and fintech services. And we see this moving, you know, in multiples over, you know, 3-4 year periods. And so the opportunity for us remains significant. So we're allocating most of our capital towards digital infrastructure to support the demand we see. So in this first half, we spent almost 21 billion rand of capital expenditure across all our markets, quite a lot of that in Nigeria and Ghana. South Africa had about 3 billion of that 21 billion. South Africa, we've done a lot of heavy lifting in prior years. So of that 21 billion, the majority of it is into the network. So let's say, you know, order of magnitude, you know, probably 3/4 is into the network.
Sure.
And that's because there's this surge of data. And I'll give you a data point. When I joined MTN in 2017, the average customer was using 500 megabytes of data. Today, they use 14.3 gigabytes of data, the average customer. So this story of structural growth is what we're investing into, because the demands are there. The youth are using products. the gaming, music, streaming. That's the use case for data. And we've got a very youthful population in Africa. And that's what gives us the confidence that the investment case is, we've got a long run investment case of growth on the African continent.
Definitely. That's underscored by the data revenue up by more than 36.5%. FinTech revenue, as you mentioned, up by 37.3%. FinTech continues to intrigue me here, Ralph, because the last time we touched base, we spoke about your customer numbers for MTN Momo. And it's bigger than some of the population of African states, if we consider that.
That's right.
Maybe give us a refresher of that. But more so, the growth prospects as well that continue to exist for Momo in particular. And I'm also intrigued about the South African market specifically, because there is a shift that's happening within the regulatory environment for banked and non-banked payment solutions and systems. What does that trajectory look like for our growth at MTN?
Yeah, the way we like to think about fintech is what we're trying to be. We're not trying to be a big universal bank. I know that world well, and I've told my colleagues, that's not what you want. There's a lot of regulation, there's a lot of capital. What we want is to drive financial inclusion, those who have no access to financial services. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of going more to the bottom of the pyramid, if you want to use that framing. And, you know, just to give you a data point, the average revenue per user of our fintech service, we make $1.50, kind of $1.50. Now, most banks would not be able to build a business model around earning $1.50. So we're leveraging our distribution and capillarity, closeness to the customer from our mobile business, the mobile connectivity business that delivers data services. So we're saying that that agent is a human ATM because he's taking, he's recharging data for a customer. And so our target market is really that end of the market. We're not trying to get a customer like yourself or myself. We're not the classical customers. We don't mind those who may have more financial means.
Gotcha.
But we're very clear about what our strategy is, the kind of the inclusion aspect. And we've been developing very basic services the last 10 years. We call them, you know, cash in, cash out, withdrawals. But we started investing in what we think are the future fit services in fintech. Bank, which are kind of nano loans, you know, we'll loan you some money for 14 days and you pay back. And the basis of how you pay back, we may give you another loan. So that's what we call bank tech. These very, it's almost like a revolving credit facility.
Got you.
And based on how you pay. Then we're doing payments and e-commerce. That's what the joint venture we're doing with MasterCard, etc. So that's the strategy of financial inclusion. I agree with you. South Africa is, as somebody said, Belgium and India in one place.
True.
You have two economies in one. And that economy, the kind of India economy for us, is still compelling. But the regulatory frameworks have not been available for kind of MEI licenses, which we see in other markets, or payment service banking license. So as the regulatory landscape in South Africa evolves, I think more opportunity will come. So I'm still, you know, quite, I still see South Africa as constructive for that financial inclusion opportunity we see in the rest of the continent.
Got you. And numbers, are you chasing a specific figure when it comes to the number of Momo customers that you serve? You're pushing close to almost 100 million plus, or?
We want to be there. We're at 63, so our goal and aspiration is to get to 100. So we still got quite a long way to go, but the opportunity is still there.
Sheesh. Bigger than South Africa's population size already, given the progress that you're making. Let's come to South Africa for just a moment, especially in regard to some of the leadership changes. The announcement did come through and some strategic shifts that are taking place. One thing that did stand out for me was Charles Molapisi now largely taking care not only of Group Chief Technology Officer, but also AI becomes a significant focus of his portfolio going forward. In the world that we live in, where ChatGPT has become a day-to-day source of information and productivity for many South Africans, talk to us about AI within the realm and context of MTN as a group.
Yeah, so the first thing I'd say is the leadership changes were made within the context of the way we've evaluated our strategy and said, you know, how should we be thinking beyond 2025? Mm-hmm. And how do we need to position? Where do we need to allocate capital to? And so forth. And as a consequence of that, of the leadership team that we have internally, do we need to find people outside or the internal? We said the people internally are there. But we need to think about how do we get the right leaders doing the right things. And, you know, what I've been exposed to in the last couple of months is just this tremendous engine of growth that AI is. And as I say to my colleagues here in South Africa, we're in elementary school while other people at matric in terms of AI. We have to put dedication and focus. So my conversation with Charles and Mazen is the current group CTO, he double hats as that, is guys, I see what we're doing, but I don't think it's enough. And if we don't kind of double up on this thing, we will find ourselves in 5 years' time as a digital underclass, where we in Africa have been so left behind in the developments that are out there in terms of AI. I mean, if you go and play with things like Google have is VO3 and Gemini 2.5, and you bring the combination of those to play, I'm using that as an example, the productivity impacts you could see are phenomenal. So I'm saying, Charles, come, you go spend, go and focus, do the traditional GCTIO role, but I want as an accent and a focus, you to come back to me and say, how do we create meaningful enterprise value by the deployment of AI and infuse it across inside MTN? Gotcha. I think there's an enormous opportunity. So Charles has gone to do that job. We brought in Ferdy and Yolanda. They're going to be kind of our bomb squad. Yes. If you like to use the rugby analogy, we're bringing fresh legs into the second half of the game and build off where Charles and team have taken and run for the next 3 to 5 years. So that's how it's been informed by our strategy and positioning our players. I often say to the team, think of it like Rassie Erasmus has 23 players for a rugby match. We just keep moving you around. Siya Kolisi must now go to eighth man. Ah. That's how we're thinking about this thing.
Got you. You've got the talent internally, certainly capitalizing on the opportunities that they have, including even seeing some of the shifts within Nigeria. Carl there also taking care now of Francophone states within the business. Ralph, I'm aware that we have to let you go, but one key area of focus that we've been discussing over the last few months and weeks here on Kaya Biz is not only your share price performance, what our experience has been as customers, but also the value proposition as shareholders. And MTN Zakhele Futhi has been a key area of interest for many of our listeners. We've spoken to the board representatives of MTN Zakhele Futhi. We've shared a lot more detail around the performance of the share price, the link to the payouts. But the truth is, there's a large contingent of our listeners who are investors and some who are still perplexed, frustrated, even by the performance as well as the payout. So I'm hoping that maybe as a CEO, you can take us through the decision-making process, the independence of MTN Zakhele Futhi's board as an external organization, and how that has come to play for the positive outcomes that we have seen for MTN Zakhele Futhi shareholders.
No, thanks for raising that topic. It's an important topic to address. And, you know, firstly, being very thankful to the MTN Zakhele Futhi shareholders who stood by us, you know, since a lot of them since 2016. And the scheme came to maturation towards 2024. It was an 8-year scheme. And as we got closer to the end of 2024, between the two boards, the MTN Group board and MTN Zakhele boards, we had engagements about, you know, what do we do? Do we just terminate as per the original scheme in November 2024? Through the back and forth, we agreed a process where we agreed that we would extend for a period of up to 3 years. So that was on our a joint election between ourselves and the board. Does Zakhele Futhi have their fiduciary responsibilities and decision making? We left the decision making, to the Zakhele Futhi board around. At what point within that 3 year could they unwind the scheme? That was always going to be a decision of the Zakhele Futhi board that says we extend up to 3 years, but the decision when to unwind was completely the Zakhele Futhi board. It's not an MTN group board or it's not an MTN executive decision. So they did inform us that they'd taken a decision to unwind the scheme. And given their fiduciary responsibility and the scheme rules, that decision was made by them. And obviously we were involved in the process of the unwind and all the mechanics that go through it. So I hope that that kind of process and decision making and who makes what decision is super clear on that because we don't get board decisions being conflated between two boards, that the unwind decision is not an MTN group board. It was a Zakelic, and that was always as part of the extension for the up to 3 year period for the scheme.
100%. Before I let you go, Ralph, Ambition 2025, we see ourselves with the reset. Of course, future outlook and performance, there are strong targets that have been made, a change to your bomb squad, as you've described. For the benefit of all shareholders, BE or not, group, yeah. Or even on the Nigerian Stock Exchange, I guess, what's the outlook like for the short to medium term that we can hold you accountable to?
Look, I mean, there's enormous opportunity here in South Africa and the broader African continent. I think, you know, as you travel, Gugu, as you do and the listeners do, we're at the early stage of adoption of the digital economy, very early stage. And the usage patterns, increasing people, the number of people who have data-capable handsets, this thing is still to go. In the MTN base of almost 300 million customers, only 55% of our customers are regularly using data. The other half, 150 million, are still on voice services.
Ooh.
150 million still use voice call as the most important form of communication. And when we look at that, we say there's enormous runway for the next 5 to 10 years. So our commitment to shareholders and stakeholders more broadly is we want to lead developing digital solutions for Africa's progress. We have the resources and the capabilities, the talent and the capital to capture this growth in an outsized manner. And, our investment case is a growth case. And we believe we can sustain that for the next 5 years plus. So very exciting times, but we've got to do all of that, you know, navigating quite a complex geopolitical environment. Mm. But I guess everybody's facing that. So, we'll find our way.
100%. Ralph Mopita, the Group President and CEO of MTN.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.